welcome to the latest edition of Cleaverfield and Rankin's podcast series. My name is Olivia Gillespie, a marketing executive at Cleaverfield and Rankin, and today I'm joined by a director in our private client team, Timothy Rankin. Today, Tim and I are going to be talking about the subject of nursing care, including when you should start thinking about planning for nursing care and deciding how the payment of your nursing care fees is assessed. So, first of all, Tim, when should you start thinking about planning for nursing care?
Well, it varies very much from client to client, but generally, as clients get older, either approaching retirement or on retirement, they should consider their estate planning generally, and that is when I would tend to introduce some nursing care fee discussion. If somebody is in their 60s, they may think that yes, the going into a nursing home may be 20 years away if it happens at all. But for others whose health is not so great, they may see that it is on more of a 5 to 10 year timescale. Most clients don't want to go into a nursing home, and that is entirely understandable. And you can certainly put things into place to try to avoid going into a nursing home at all. People want to see out their days in their house, but they do need to be aware that if their care needs get too great at any point, that they can't be looked after at home, they need to be aware of how they will be assessed for paying for nursing care and see how that will affect their estate planning. So I would generally do it on their age and their health.
And following on from that then, Tim, how are nursing care fees assessed in Northern Ireland?
Well, the assessment is carried out by way of a means test procedure contained in the Charging for Residential Accommodation Guide, otherwise known as the CRAG guidelines. And the sort of headlines of those would be that if you have capital assets over £23,250, then the resident, the person going into the home, will be liable to pay all of the fees themselves. That figure is obviously quite low for quite a number of people, that if you own your own property, in all likelihood that's going to be worth more than £23,250, and therefore you will be under the means assessment. I should point out that even where the resident's assets get below the figure of £23,250, it's not that they stop paying for care at that point. It is only once their capital is less than £14,250 that the capital is fully disregarded and the health trust is liable to cover the resident's accommodation fees. In between those two figures of £14,250 and £23,250, there is an income means test that will be applied to assess the level of the resident's contribution to their accommodation fees.
Great, thanks Tim. And what options are available for individuals in relation to nursing care planning?
Well, for a lot of people, their biggest single asset is the family home. They may have some cash in the bank, but most people, once they have paid off their mortgage, the biggest single asset is their house. So a lot of our planning would focus on the house, because the house can be disregarded from the means assessment in certain circumstances. For instance, if a spouse or a partner is living in the house as their permanent residence, then the house is disregarded. Or if there's a relative aged over the age of 60, or is incapacitated, so is generally taken to be in receipt of personal independence payment, then again, from a public policy standpoint, the house is disregarded, as those people would be less able to find their own place to live. Also, if there is a child under the age of 16 that the person going into the nursing home is liable to maintain. So for instance, if a grandchild is living with the person and that grandchild is under the age of 16 and is living in the house, then the house should be disregarded from the means assessment. One of the easiest ways to avoid having to pay for your nursing care planning is to not have any assets at the time that you go into a nursing home. But the principle that has to be considered throughout any stage of nursing care planning is the deliberate deprivation of assets. And that is where if a resident has deliberately deprived themselves of capital or income in order to increase the amount available from the trust to pay for accommodation, the health trust may treat that resident as still possessing that capital or income. And the CRAG guidelines set out how the trust will use those rules. So for instance, have they given all of the cash they held in their name to their children just before they've gone into your home? Or have they paid for a particularly expensive holiday? Or, for instance, again, considering the family home, given the house over to the children where they have continued to live in it? If that has happened in a reasonably short time frame between the gift away and them going into your nursing home, then the health trust are likely to consider that to be a deliberate deprivation of assets. Having said that, there are options available to people who are concerned that they may go into a residential home at some point in the future. I should point out that sometimes clients come in to see us who are anything from petrified about paying for nursing care planning and willing to do anything at all to avoid paying it, to the other end of the spectrum where they know that somebody has to pay for the nursing care planning, whether it is the taxman through the health trust or whether it is the residents themselves. And it is all about just trying to find where on that spectrum the clients are. Everybody knows of anecdotal evidence of somebody's granny's aunt who goes into a nursing home for 10 years, using up all the money, and only has that lower threshold of £14,250 left to go to their family. Having said that, in my experience, where people do go into a home, it isn't for terribly long, less than a year, less than 2 years. And if your income is reasonable, you know, if you have a good health service pension or, good private pension as well as your state pension, your income may only be short by a couple of £100 per month in comparison to the cost of your care, which may only be a few £1,000 per year. If you end up going into a home for 10 years and your shortfall is only a couple of £100 per month or a couple of £1,000 per year, you may only have to give up £10,000-£20,000 of capital, which, rather than go through the risk of giving gifts to family members who may not be ready for that substantial amount of money, because there are various things when people come in to talk to us about potentially giving things to the next generation, and whether this is for inheritance tax planning or nursing care planning, there are four main D's, as we refer to them, to consider, and they are death, dispute, divorce, and debt. Death, if you gave your house to your children and carried on living in it, and one of your children died, you could suddenly find out your son-in-law or your daughter-in-law owns a share of your house. You may get on perfectly well with your in-laws, but that's probably not the planning that you had in mind when you decided to give your house away to your children. Dispute, you could fall out with your children and the house is no longer yours, so they could legitimately change the locks and essentially kick you out of what you still consider as your own house. So that's death, dispute, divorce. If one of your children was to go through a divorce, your house could form part of their divorce settlement, and therefore they might have to be bought out or the house might have to be sold in order to pay for that divorce. Or debt, if they were made bankrupt, their trustee in bankruptcy is likely to want to see their share of the house realized, so them bought out of your house in order to pay off their debts. So quite often, if people come in to talk about giving their house away, I try to counsel them to seriously consider those four D's, and a lot of times people realize that maybe just giving everything away is not the panacea that everybody thinks that it might be. A lot of our planning takes place in people's wills, that yes, you can consider gifting things away in lifetime, but perhaps those four D's have put you off giving things away outright. So we would make will trusts, make trusts in lifetime potentially, but in a classic husband and wife scenario, we would do most of our planning around people's wills, so it doesn't need to be as scary as just giving everything away.
So if someone is thinking about the potential of nursing care fees in the future, what should they do?
Well, it's really taking basic estate planning steps first. So come in to see us. We can go through what all of your assets are. So as part of that, we would tell people to sit down and draw up. It doesn't need to be a terribly precise list, but and have an idea of what their assets are, what the values are, what their income is, what their income will be, so that if it is a husband and wife and one of them passes away, does the survivor receive 50% of their occupational income? Because it might be that while they're both alive, they can look after each other in the house perfectly well, but the greater risk is when one of them has died and there's only one of them left in the house. So have an idea of what your assets are, what your income is, what the income would be after one of you has died. Come in, make a will, make sure that that will is kept up to date, and also make an enduring power of attorney, because some of this planning can be done by attorneys or by controllers with the authority of the Office of Care Protection where necessary. But it is basically make sure that all of your estate planning affairs are kept up to date.
So that just about brings us to the end of today's podcast. Tim, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your very valuable insights on nursing care. If you have any questions about any of the issues raised in today's podcast, please feel free to get in touch with us at info@cfrlaw.co.uk. Thank you.